Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're really seeing a lot of demand for the Battlehawks XFL home opener. Right now, the average ticket is reselling for right around $100, which is actually above every other team's home opener and by a pretty wide margin. So for reference, the second hottest home opener we've seen is in Dallas, and that was an average resale price of $75. So, you know, you're seeing a pretty big jump in it. And looking kind of across all the XFL games that we've seen take place so far or taking place in the next few weeks, it seems like on average, the average XFL ticket selling for somewhere between $60 and $75. And then you look at these games in St. Louis that are coming up, and, you know, they're in the 90s up into the hundreds. So really seems like the St. Louis market seems maybe exceptionally excited about the XFL. The one point that I'll make is that what's interesting about the XFL and what makes it a little hard to make, say, an apples-to-apples comparison team to team is the venue sizes are so different and the venue configurations are so different. So, you know, you've got some teams that are playing in 15,000-person, you know, typical MLS stadiums. You've got others that are playing in NFL stadiums that can seat 65,000. So it does impact prices a little bit, you know, in terms of the number of seats available. And I know for St. Louis, for example, I think they're really only selling tickets in the lower bowl. But really, we're seeing a ton of demand. You know, $100 is $100 any way you cut it. And really, it seems like people are excited for the home opener and for the XFL in general.
So they sold out, it seemed like, pretty quickly. And they just recently announced that they'll be opening up some suites that hadn't been available. But they're not going to be opening up any of the, just because logistically and cost-wise, the demand they feel is there. But they're not going to open up the upper bowl because of the logistical issues. But has any other city sold out like this, like St. Louis has, and as quickly, and has at least had to wrestle with, do we open up other areas, even if they don't ultimately?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. You know, I know the one team that I keep seeing kind of pointed to is maybe another team that's doing really well is the DC Defenders. And it seems like they've got a pretty good atmosphere, especially I know for their first game, their home opener at Audi Field. But again, that's a, you know, 18,000 person stadium, significantly smaller than the venue in St. Louis. And so, you know, I think that it does seem like the demand from St. Louis is high. And I know I've seen some speculation as to why that is, whether it's, you know, Rams fans who are upset that the team left and this is kind of their way of getting back at that, or whether it's just, you know, there's not too much. Obviously, the Blues are on fire as always. But, you know, this is kind of a quieter time in the sports market sometimes once you get past the end of the NFL season. And it gives fans a way to kind of get out and do something. And another big advantage is maybe the fact that it's an indoor stadium. So, you know, for some of these teams, I'm up here in New York, and going to MetLife Stadium in February is, you've got to be pretty dedicated because, you know, there's a chance it's 20 degrees outside, whereas an indoor stadium certainly makes it an easier, predictable weather situation.
They're playing in the dome now. I know you said it's not apples to apples because of the fact that half of it's closed off, but What do you see in terms of the ticket prices that people were paying for Rams tickets versus what people are shelling out for these Battlehawks tickets?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think the average ticket we've seen for these Battlehawks tickets is around $100. For the Rams over their last few years in St. Louis, it was closer to $65, $70. So, you know, looking at those two numbers, you would say the Battlehawks are more in demand. Again, I would caution jumping to that conclusion because, you know, the Rams average is across an entire full stadium. And of course, the seats in the upper level tend to be cheaper than those in the lower level. So the Battlehawks are really selling the best seats in the house. But it does show that I think that, you know, this city still has an appetite for football. You know, I think some maybe members of the national media or just fans who aren't in the St. Louis area probably kind of assume that based on the Rams demand and whatnot, that maybe St. Louis wasn't a city that could support a football team, and this seems quite the contrary. You know, it really does seem like the Battlehawks are off to a lot of success. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they maintain this, right? And this is something I think the XFL is thinking about across all venues. is, sure, a lot of people are going to come out. They're curious for the first few games. They want to see, you know, the rule changes and just, you know, something new, something different. How do you maintain that through a season? And then to your point, how do you maintain that for years down the road? You know, that can become a real big challenge. And so, you know, St. Louis is certainly off to arguably the strongest start in the league. And then the question is, how do they kind of capitalize upon that?
You just touched on it a little bit. Are there any signs as to how sustainable this might be as we enter week three? I don't know if anybody's had 2 weeks in a row of hosting at this point to be able to compare ticket prices or looking out maybe for St. Louis. But how do you evaluate the sustainability, at least with the data we have at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, most, I think DC at least has had two home games, and it seemed like they still had a pretty strong atmosphere, good turnout at their second home game. So, you know, I definitely don't think you're going to see a huge drop off from the first game to the second game. I think the bigger question is, you know, by the end of the season, you know, what are things looking like? The big advantage that the XFL has over the NFL is that the weather is actually just going to get better throughout the season. So in most venues, it's like, oh, I'd much rather go to a football game in April than in February. So, you know, I think we're seeing some promising signs. And I know, you know, from the ticketing side, it's one thing. And then the other question is the ratings. And it seems like the ratings have been pretty strong too. I know this past weekend was the first time that the XFL is kind of going up against other marquee events, whether it's the Daytona 500 or another event like that. And, you know, from what I've seen, it seems like it's really held its own. You know, football is just such a popular sport in the US, and if done right and done smartly, you know, where it seems like the XFL isn't trying to do too much. You know, they're not trying to fill this entire stadium and fit 50 or 60,000 people in there. They know, all right, let's get 20, 25,000 people in there and have a really good atmosphere and not have a bunch of empty seats spread throughout the stadium. I think the way that they're slowly building the league is really smart.
The Battle Hawks, both of these were on cable. Battle Hawks had a 6-0 and the Blues had a 3-1.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, that just speaks volumes to the popularity of football, and also the fact that, you know, I mean, even I, as somebody who doesn't really, I wouldn't say I have an allegiance to an XFL team, even I'm going to tune in because I want to see these rule changes, even to see, does the NFL take some of these rules on kickoffs, for example, is this something? And I also think the production, you know, obviously in my mind, there's nothing like being at the actual stadium and experiencing that. And I've seen some amazing stories about these fan bases that have literally come up out of nowhere. And I saw, like, for example, I think people in Seattle were like bringing these giant snakes to the stadium and whatnot. And they had 30,000+ people there. But also, I think the XFL has done a really good job of putting together an amazing product on TV. I saw, like, the storyline this weekend was that the Guardians quarterback did like a halftime interview where he like spoke poorly of his team and then he got benched for the second half. Like, that just would never happen in the NFL. So it definitely is bringing that entertainment level on TV and also in the stadium. I think that there's almost, maybe it's because some of the teams are playing in soccer fields, but there's almost a soccer culture around some of these teams where, you know, you've got these fans who are basically just like fans out of nowhere, and they've got this like dedication, and this is just going to be their thing, and they're really devoted to the team.
Well, I'm trying to think, is there anything else I didn't ask about or anything I missed that you can think
of? I mean, I think, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to just see how things play out. You know, I think, to me, looking at the numbers, it seems like year one is only going to get stronger. And I suspect, you know, we'll, at the end of the year, we'll still be talking about how there's still a ton of demand for tickets. Maybe some teams even start to open up more sections. I think the question is, like, how does the XFL take year one and build on that for year two? Which, to your point, maybe it's changing some of the venues. Maybe it's, you know, increasing the number of games or something. But I do think that there's big opportunity here. And it really is at a good time in the schedule. You know, there's just not, outside of the NBA and the NHL, there's just not, you know, there's no baseball right now. There's no NFL. College basketball is going on at least. But there's a lot of fans out there who want to spend their cold Saturdays sitting at home or sitting in a stadium watching a game. And so far, so good from the XFL's perspective.